This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, most people in our culture want to look good. If you don't look good, there's something called a makeover. People can change your outward appearance so that you look totally new, as long as you got the money to pay for it. Well, in the same way, if our reputation has been tarnished, and if people no longer trust us, we can use the media. We can hire a PR professional to give us an image makeover. Professional sports stars, politicians, Hollywood actors, they've done this. Image makeovers are nothing new. History is littered with such attempts, and some have been quite extraordinary. In fact, I dare say we're tempted to even give Judas an image makeover. Why? Because we have a hard time understanding why anybody would betray Jesus. Some people have actually tried to spin Judas as a good man, an innocent man. Of course, you have to really twist the scripture to get that image of Jesus. But the reason people want to spin Judas as being a good man, a victim of circumstances, is they don't really want to imagine that anybody could possibly be that evil. On the other hand, maybe we try to protect ourselves by giving Judas a reverse makeover. What I mean is, we try to make him out to be even more evil than he maybe actually was. And by that I mean, we try to think that he was so evil that he was a much greater sinner than we could ever be. You know what I mean? We think of Judas, the guy who betrayed Jesus, and we think, you know, someone like that must have been rotten to the core. He must have been evil through and through. Judas was a demon in human flesh. That's why he betrayed Jesus. So if we can't make out Jesus to be an innocent victim of circumstance, we try to think of him as the worst of sinners. But why do we do that? You see, all of these explanations can't really help us get a handle on Judas. If Judas can't be explained, that scares us. Why is it? You see, we look at Judas and we wonder what's really going on. I mean, here's a man who seems to have betrayed Jesus without reason. Judas was one of the 12, one of the most respected men in all of history. He had a chance to walk and talk and eat and laugh and learn from Jesus. He was hand-picked by Jesus himself. A man who could have asked Jesus anything whenever he wanted to. Here's a man, in spite of all this good stuff, who ends up rejecting it all, betraying it all, and destroying it all. What's going on? It just doesn't make any sense. And that's the scary part. Think about it. If someone who had all that going for him could still betray his Lord, then what hope do we have? That's why we try to think that Judas must have been evil to the core, far more evil than us. The reason we play that game is that we think if Judas was just an ordinary sinner like you and me, well, that means he was able to succumb to temptation. And what about us? I mean, if one of the chosen 12 blew it and fell prey to sin and evil, then what makes us think that we're secure? If Judas could reject Christ for no good reason, then what's keeping you from doing the same thing? But you might as well ask, what kept David, the man after God's own heart, from sinning so greatly against his Lord? Or what about Peter, the man who said, "Lord, I don't know about the others, but you can count on me. I'm even willing to die for you." And then just a few hours later, he denied his Lord 3 times. If someone like David, if someone like Peter, if someone like Judas can fall so hard, then are any of us safe? You see, the story of Judas scares us because it offers no explanation. It should shake you to your core, because when you see Judas fall, you must realize that you are no better than Judas. You and I, we are also sinners who betray our Lord. Judas, who was blessed by God, he chose to betray God. You and I, we are blessed by God as well. But we also have betrayed our God. Well, obviously, I don't mean that you sell out your Lord and your friends for hard cash, though the reasons for that probably have more to do with lack of opportunity than with our great integrity and strength of character. Nevertheless, we are tempted to other forms of betrayal, aren't we? And we often give in to that temptation, don't we? That's right. We have all betrayed our Lord, just like Judas. And however such betrayal manifests itself, whether it's trusting in other things besides God, whether it's misusing God's name or not using it in good ways, whether it's breaking the third commandment by despising preaching in the Word, either by not coming to church at all or by coming to church but not really believing what you hear, or the fourth commandment, despising the authorities God has placed over us. Who of us here can honestly say we've always honored our mother and father? The fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder. Luther says, even if we hurt or harm anybody, we're breaking the fifth commandment. Jesus said, if you have anger or hatred in your heart, you're a murderer in God's eyes. How about the sixth commandment? Thou shalt not commit adultery. David broke that one. But the sixth commandment also applies to single people who have sex apart from the commitment of marriage, or same-sex behavior, or lust in the heart. Remember what Jesus said, if you have lust in your heart, you're an adulterer before the Lord. We think of how the sin of pornography pervades our society. The seventh commandment, stealing. Maybe we haven't actually stolen anything, but maybe we've failed to help others when we've had the opportunity. Or maybe we just have greed and envy in our hearts. And then there's the eighth commandment, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not use your mouth to hurt others. And yet how many times have we not all done that? How many times have we not listened to gossip and then spread on that gossip? How many times have we not used our mouths to rip people apart? Yes, I'm afraid we have all betrayed God more times than we can possibly imagine. And it all comes down to two words: broken trust. Why should God trust any of us? We're supposed to love one another unconditionally, but trust needs to be earned. And yet, our trust account with God is empty. We're not even running on fumes. We betrayed Him so many times. Broken trust lies behind or at the bottom of so much of the suffering and hurt that people experience in their lives. For example, you all know the statistic. 1 in 2 marriages will end in divorce. And sadly, that statistic does not change for Christians. No marriage ever ends unless there is at least one or more betrayals. or at least a mutual decision to not keep your promise. There's infidelity, there's indifference, there's apathy. All that can kill a marriage. In the same way, children are betrayed by parents. Parents who don't have the time to talk to them, parents who don't have the courage to discipline them, parents who don't have the commitment to raise them in the knowledge of God's Word. And then, of course, children betray parents when they mock, when they neglect, when they dishonor them. Such betrayal from both directions shatters homes and strains relationships and destroys friendships. On top of all of that, we betray our Lord and His truth when we choose to remain silent, when we should and ought to speak His truth when opportunities present themselves. These are all acts of betrayal, my friends. They all break trust with God. And this is the very nature and definition of sin. Sin is failure to honor God and to trust His Word. Sin is broken trust. When trust has been broken, an image makeover is not sufficient. Earlier I mentioned that politicians, professional sports players, Hollywood actors, those with the monetary means, those who can use the media and PR professionals to make over their image, they try to do that, and sometimes they're successful. But we cannot fool God. We cannot do an image makeover before God because He sees our hearts. When trust has been broken, nothing we do can fix it. And that's the tragedy and the betrayal of broken trust. But here's the good news, my friends. Even though there's nothing we can do to give ourselves an image makeover, what God is willing to give us is an identity makeover. God allows us to start from scratch. Trust is recreated. God remakes you. That's what God does. He remakes you. He gives you a new identity in Jesus. He recreates trust. You start over as a new creation. So on the one hand, if you break trust, you can't recreate yourself. Remember, Judas tried that, and he failed. He ended up in despair. And what about David and Peter? They finally realized they couldn't remake themselves. So they just fell on their knees and said, God, I've sinned against you. I am yours. Make me new. And God did. He forgave them for Jesus' sake. God also makes you alive again. He gives you a new self, a new you. Jesus died on the cross for all of us who have betrayed Him. And because of that sacrifice, we are forgiven. Jesus conquered death for us, and now we get to live a new life as God's children. Now and for all eternity. But even though such a remarkable gift is free for us, it cost God everything. You see, God could not simply ignore our betrayal. Such betrayal deserves death and damnation. But rather than giving us what we deserved, He put our betrayal on His own Son, and Jesus willingly went to the cross and there suffered the judgment that should have been ours. And it's because of that costly sacrifice that we are new creations. That's right, something had to be done about our breaking of God's trust. And Jesus did it. He took the penalty. He paid the price. He took the shame and the emptiness and the suffering. And He gives us the forgiveness and the freedom. And a new identity in Him. Jesus died, And he gave up his spirit. And the Spirit breathes his spirit into you and makes you a new creation. When trust has been broken, an image makeover will never do. What we need instead is a completely new creation. And in Jesus, that's what you are. The old is gone, and behold, the new has come. That's wonderful news, isn't it? All those times that I've betrayed God in thought, word, and deed, all those horrible sins that haunt me, all those wicked things that the devil never wants me to forget, Jesus has wiped them out. God has forgotten them. In Jesus, you are a new creation. Trust has been restored. And so we don't need to try to give ourselves an image makeover. We can't. It's much better to simply fall on your knees and allow Jesus to give you an identity makeover. And that's what Jesus has done for you. That's what Lent is really all about. Falling on our knees before God and admitting that we've betrayed Him. Begging for His mercy. And then hearing Him say to you, "You are forgiven. I trust you again. Follow me." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.